Well, good morning again. I love Sundays. All right. I love Sundays. There we go. Now we're talking. A missionary was in Africa, and he heard lion footsteps behind him, and he knew he was in trouble. And so he prayed, "Oh, dear Lord, please let this lion be a Christian lion." Well, the next thing this missionary heard was the lion. And the lion said, "Dear Lord, thank you for this food that you have blessed me with." Jesus said that for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. And reaching the lost people, reaching those people that do not know Jesus and do not have a relationship with him, is part of one of why we love Sundays and why we gather here each week and why we are even in existence, is to reach lost people, to reach people with the gospel of Christ. Since the inception of the church, as we read in Acts, we see that God has been sharing the good news and continues to share the good news of the gospel and inviting people into the family of God. And this morning we're going to talk more about what it means to invite someone into the family of God. And one of the reasons that we love Sundays, it's because it's a day to celebrate the good news. It's a day to share the good news. So you have your handout in your bulletin, and if you want to turn in your Bible, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 14. We're just going to read one passage from those Bibles today. Then the rest of the passages are going to be on your outline. So 1 Corinthians 14, beginning in verse 22 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. Tongues, then, are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, "God is really among you." So we're not going to debate the spiritual gifts today. So you can just relax. We're not going to talk about speaking in tongues or anything like that today. But what we are going to talk about is that the point of this passage is that things in the early church were done not only for the believers that were there, but they were also done because there were unbelievers that were coming. And that was the whole idea, was it was Sunday, it was time for worship, and unbelievers, those who are lost, those who do not yet know Christ, needed to be there. And so the things that the church does in the church, the things that the church did at that time, needed to address not only those who are already saved, but also those who are lost. And so when we as a church come together, we need to remember that it's not just for us. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that it's not a cruise ship being a church. And if you've never been on a cruise ship, I never have. I want to be on a cruise ship someday, maybe. Hey, it's Pastor Appreciation Month still. Just throw that in there. But on a cruise ship is what I'm told is that you get anything your heart desires, basically, you can get at a cruise ship. I mean, there's drinks all over the place. There's food, all you can eat buffets 24 hours a day, all this stuff you can do. It's all about you as the guest being there on your vacation. And some people think the church is like that, that it should be all about them. It should be about what we want. We should always have potlucks with only chocolate. Okay. We should only sing certain kinds of songs. We should only listen to certain kind of music. We should only do this or that. But it's really not a cruise ship. I am not your captain. Okay. Thank you, Colette. There we go. But church is really more like a battleship because we are on a mission and we're all under God's rulership and God's direction and God's command. And our goal as a church is to reach people with the gospel of Christ. And so when Paul is writing this, he's saying that when godly things are taking place inside of a church, people are going to notice. People are going to say, what's going on in there? Because I want some of that. I want that godly interaction. I want to see changed lives. And when people see changed lives, it is contagious and it is infectious, and people are going to get the word out. And people are going to come to church because they're going to want to say, what is going on in this church that people are changing? We talked a little bit about Sunday school today about lives that have been changed because people have come to Christ. And someone said, I can't believe that you're here in church for Sunday school. When I knew you 17 years ago, there's not a chance in this world that I ever would have believed that you would be in church or in Sunday school. And in this case, even teaching Sunday school, because Bubba was the one they were talking about. And it's okay to pick on Bubba a little bit. But he said 17 years ago, if you knew Bubba, you wouldn't think that he would be on the board as an elder, as a teacher of Sunday school. That's God making some transformations there. And that's what people need to know about. That's what people need to hear, those stories about transformed lives. Because there's lots of different places you can go to get all the facts and all the knowledge of this is why you should believe. Okay, and those things are good. But those personal stories, and the people want to see it. They hear the words up here, but we want to see it. We want to see it in your life. And so how do we reach the lost people of this community in general? And the first way that we reach the lost is that we show love. We show love. Because love draws people to it. And we're going to read from 1 John chapter 3. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give our lives up for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love one another. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Part of our witness to the world is that we are to love one another. Look to your right and look to your left. No, really. Look to your right and look to your left. Do you love the person that you're sitting next to? Or the wall in some cases? That wall is beautiful. But we're to love one another. And part of being the church is loving one another. Even if we don't always get along, and even if, you know, we don't have to, like, spend holidays with one another, okay? That's what your family's for. But we are a church family, okay? But we have to love one another. And how many of you have heard the 1 Corinthians 13 love chapter? Love is patient, love is kind, all that stuff. That kind of trivializes it, doesn't it? All right. But all that other good stuff. Okay? That is often read at weddings, right? Because it's so beautiful. I think it was even read at my wedding, though that's a long time ago. But love keeps no record of wrongs. God gave me that verse right at the right time. Okay? Yeah. But that 1 Corinthians 13 love chapter is not about marriage. That is not the context of that. It's great because we should treat each other like that. But the context of that love chapter, the chapter before and the chapter after and everything in between, is all about how we're supposed to treat each other in church. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about that more in detail. But that's how we're supposed to treat each other when we are brothers and sisters in Christ. But showing love for one another is not enough. Showing love for one another is a good start, but we also have to show love to other people. We have to show love to those outside of these walls and outside of the church. Look in Romans 5:5-11. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Who did Christ die for? Sinners. And who are sinners? Hands. Yes. We are sinners and Christ died for us. Even though we were sinners, Christ still died for us. Christ didn't say, you got to become perfect and then I'll die for you. You've got to sing the right songs and then I'll die for you. He didn't say, you've got to dress the right way and then I'll die for you. He said, while you are just the way you are, I will die for you. And that's the kind of love we're supposed to be having for other people. Continuing on in verse 7, now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Now, we do not have to go very far to look for stories in the news or just look on Facebook and you will see Christians not showing love to one another and not showing love to other people. We have to be willing to go above that and be above the fray and show love to one another. We have to be willing to meet people where they're at and say, we love you. Because you know what? You were where those people once, you are where those people are at some point in your life. And you say, well, no, Kevin, I didn't do all these bad things in my life. Okay, but did you do any bad things in your life? Do you want me to call your mom? Even if you haven't done those sins that you've labeled as bad sins, God doesn't care what the sin is. The sin is a sin. And so even if you haven't done these things physically, spiritually, we're in the same place. You were the same way. At some point in your life, you were lost. You did not know Jesus as your Savior. And so at that point, Jesus died for you. And Jesus said, I'm going to die for you. Even though you're not perfect, even though you're not good, even though you're not great, I'm still going to die for you. And so as a church and as a body of believers, we need to show that same love to other people. Because that love is what's going to draw people in. John MacArthur says this, one thing I have observed in all my years in ministry is that the most effective and important aspects of evangelism usually take place on an individual, personal level. Most people do not come to Christ as an immediate response to a sermon they hear in a crowded setting. They come to Christ because of the influence of an individual. Each one of you has the opportunity to show love to other people. And we have to think about this because you are influencing people around you. And the question is, are you drawing people toward Christ or are you pushing people away from Christ? Because you're doing one or the other. Because unless you're coming to church in secret and never telling anyone that you're here, people know at some level that you attend church. So you're influencing people positively or negatively. And you need to take that seriously. Because the individual interactions that you have with one another are going to be way more weight than anything that I could say on a Sunday morning. Because they're going to want to say, okay, you heard that on Sunday morning. Now, are you living that way? Because that's what's going to make a difference. Because if you come into church on Sunday and just check the box, I was here, and then live how you want during the week, that's not going to be influencing people for Christ. That's not going to be a changed life. Now, the opposite of love is not hate. Friends, the opposite of love is apathy. It's just you don't care. You don't care enough to hate them. You don't care enough to love them. You just don't care. How many of your friends and family are you willing to say, I don't care. I don't care about your eternal destiny. I don't care if you're living for something bigger than yourself. I don't care if you're living for Jesus. If you care about your friends, if you care about your family, if you care about your coworkers, then it's time to do something. It's time to show them that you care. Show them that you love them. And when people come in these doors, remember that every single person is part of someone else's family. And how would you want them to be treated when they come to a new place? Would you want them ostracized? Would you want them to sit by themselves? Would you want them to be kind of tucked in the corner? Or would you want someone to go up to them, welcome them, and say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Let's get to know one another. There's some people in the room today that I don't know very well, and I hope that that changes sometime soon. But I tell you honestly that I'm glad you're here. I am glad that you're here this morning, because I want you to know the same joy and have the same experience that I have with knowing Christ as my Savior. Because there is more to life than just punching a time clock. There is something more that you can live for, and that something more is Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we might live. If Jesus could love me, if Jesus could love you, then he can love anyone who walks in these doors. Part of loving someone is accepting who they are and loving them in spite of it. We don't have to agree with everyone. We're not going to agree. We could talk politics for a second and really see how we all feel about each other. But in spite of our differences, we still love one another. We still come together to love one another. Now, another part of loving someone is helping with their needs and meeting needs. Now, the first question that I have is, do you know needs in your family, in your friends, in your community? And the second question is, if you know what those needs are, what are you doing about it? There's a big difference between knowing that someone is short this month, is not going to have money for food, and actually going and bringing them some food. There's a big difference there. Now, as a church, are we helping people? Are we meeting the needs of our community? I think we could be doing a lot better. And we need to be doing a lot better. Meeting the needs of our community. Because you could say, oh, well, we're a small church, we can't do much. But we're a small church and we need to do something. We need to be meeting the needs of the community the best that we can. And one way is to find out what those needs are and reach them, meet them. Now, everyone has a need for Jesus. But people are not going to listen to the gospel message of Jesus if their tummy's hungry. They're not going to be open to listening to the message of the gospel of Jesus if they don't have somewhere to sleep that night. We have to meet their basic needs just like Jesus did. We have to be willing to go out and meet the needs of the people so that they will be open to the gospel message. The second way to reach the lost is to show relevance. Now, I know this is, if you've been in church circles long, this is a really loaded word, relevance. You got to be relevant. Now, I want to just take you back to what the word means. And it's not about watering down the message of the gospel. It's not about changing the message of the gospel. It's about showing people that this book, the Bible, matters and is relevant to our lives. Because that's what it means. It's breaking it down and saying, you know what? This matters. This is not making something new up. I don't come up here and think, wow, what am I going to make up this week? What am I going to sell to you this week? I go to the Word and I say, what is the Bible teaching me and what can I share with you about what the Lord is teaching me through His Word? Because that's what matters. We don't water it down. We just point out the fact that, you know what, the Bible is good and it is useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the training of righteousness. It is there for us to use and to understand what God's will is for our lives. And so showing people that it's relevant is a huge thing we need to do. Rick Warren says this: everyone has a need for love, acceptance, forgiveness, meaning, self-expression, and a purpose for living. People are also looking for a freedom from fear, guilt, worry, resentment, discouragement, and loneliness. When we come together on Sunday morning, we can help with these things. We can show love. We can show acceptance. We can demonstrate forgiveness. We can also help ease fears. We can find encouragement with people. We can help them discover life's purpose to worship God and to share that worship and love with other people. All of these needs that Rick Warren mentions are addressed in Scripture. And so we're not making it up. We're not trying to water the message down. We're saying these are real needs that you have, and we have real answers for you. We have real solutions for you. And they're found in God's Word, and they're found in the community of faith that we have as a body of Christ, as a church. And when we come together on Sundays, this is one of the things that we do. We fellowship with one another. We encourage one another. We join together as one body. You have the opportunity to be part of something with eternal significance, and that is sharing the love of Christ with other people. Because isn't it just a really selfish thing to have that and not share it? I mean, if you had the greatest advertisement in the world, it's better than Black Friday, and you knew it, and you knew that if you went to this store and at whatever time you had 95% off a new computer and there was an unlimited supply, would you keep it to yourself? One person said yes. All right. Unlimited supply, though. It's not like a Black Friday. Wouldn't you want to go and say, hey, guess what? There's a great computer sale. Don't you want to share that? But we have something better than a computer sale, right? We have got the message of hope from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet we're sitting on our thumbs not telling people about it. And there's a problem with that. We need to share our testimonies with one another. We need to share how our lives have been transformed by the message of the gospel. We need to tell each other, why do you love Sundays? Why do you love Sundays? Maybe you don't. Maybe you should. Because there's a lot to love about Sundays. There's a lot to love about being in the house of the Lord. The third way that we reach the lost is to go to them. Is to go to them. Jesus, often in his ministry, invites people to come to him. But Jesus also goes to the people. And so we invite people to church because we share the good news here. We share the message of the gospel here. We invite people to take next steps in faith. But we also have to go to the people. Go to where they're at. Look at Mark chapter 2. Later, Levi invited Jesus, that's another name for Matthew, invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Then this parenthesis. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. Isn't that cool? I mean, isn't that just cool? Doesn't that just make you like, wow, Jesus is kind of a rebel. You know, he's got disreputable sinners. I just think that sounds cool. I mean, how many of you feel like disreputable sinners sometimes? I mean, you could be hanging out with Jesus. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Guys, we're all sinners, and we're all in need of a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And Jesus is not concerned with his image. Jesus is not concerned with what people are saying about him. Jesus is concerned about reaching the lost people. Are you willing to do what it takes to reach lost people in Hayes, Kansas? Are you willing to get your hands dirty for the gospel? Are you willing to eat dinner with people? Are you willing to spend time with people? Are you willing to be around people who other people might call scum? Because part of our calling is to do what Jesus has done. And that example is to go and be with people. And be with those who are lost. As a church, we have to welcome people regardless of who they are and where they come from. We have to have the same attitude that Jesus Christ did. We need to be with those people who need to hear the gospel. Because it's great to go and tell each other, "Hey, guess what? I know the gospel." "Oh, me too. Great." We need to tell people who don't know the gospel. We need to share the message with people who don't know. And we as a church need to take that role seriously. Because the church is what God has instituted to do this. To tell the gospel. To take the word and the message of Jesus to the world is through the church. So as a church, we need to be taking time to learn how to share our faith. And we need to be wearing our Heart Sunday shirts. How many of you have had questions about your shirts when you've worn? Have anybody said, "Hey, why are you wearing your Sunday shirt?" Or do you, why? Why is that all about? I've had a couple people, and I know I've talked to someone else that their waitress was like, "Why do you love Sundays?" I went to the dentist, and I'm like, "What does your shirt say?" "Like, I love Sundays." Awesome, right? We have to be willing to go to people. We have to be willing to share the message of the gospel with people. Now, how many of you like Duck Dynasty? I know there's at least one of you that doesn't, that we've talked about. Okay, the Duck commander himself, Phil Robertson, is the head of this family. And he's going to be talking to you here on a clip. It's a clip. I didn't like get him to call or anything. But he's going to share with you a little bit about something that's happened as a result of the show, as a result of the show that he is on. They're on a reality TV show called Duck Dynasty. So here's what he says about evangelism.
So we gave him a view of a functional family. Well, the other day, this atheist was watching that, and he says, "You know, I don't believe in God, but these people sure do." He said, "I don't have that. I don't have a family like that. My family, we all hate each other. It's friction, drugs, fighting." He said, "I wish I could be like that." So he gets in touch with some brother up there, you know, and they preach a gospel to him. He's converted, so they sent the letter down. He said, you know, like a load lifted off his shoulders. And a lot of them now are driving up from wherever they are. We got one coming, Will's going to baptize him. He said he wants one of us to baptize him. I don't know, I don't think it's to make it official. He just wanted us to baptize him. So, but there's been quite a few of them now. It's pretty well one or two a week, you know. There's just a trickle of them keep coming in. Of course, where we meet over here, you know, there's a lot of people coming in now because of the show. But the old Apostle Paul said it best. He said, you know, his job was to win them, win the lost by all possible means. Well, this is just a way. And it's not actually through the confines of a church building. You understand what I'm saying? Well, you can go to church, which is not in the Bible, that term, going to church. You can meet with your brothers and sisters for 40 years and never bring anybody to Jesus. But you went to church for 40 years, you think about it, you say, we need to get the gospel to Jesus out, away from the church building. Most of these folks, trust me, they're not coming to your church building.
Most of the people are not coming to the church building. We have to go to where the people are. We have to be willing to go to see people where they're at and meet them where they are at. So, how will we reach the lost people? How will we reach those people that need to know Christ? We love them. We show relevance to them through Scripture, and we go to them. Because it's great to invite people to church, and I want you to invite people to church, because they're going to hear the message of the gospel. They're going to hear the good news. But we can't just be content with the people that we see and hear. We have to reach out and go to the people. Would you pray with me? Father God, I just thank you that you've given us this opportunity to study your word, and I thank you that you have loved us so much, God, that even while we were sinners, you died for us. And God, that is so amazing to think about, that in our darkest hour, Lord, you are still there. You are still calling us to be one of your children. And I just pray, Father, that as we think about the grace that you've given us, and we think about the wonderful things that you've done for us, that we would be so excited and so filled with your Spirit that we can't help but share it with other people. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.